Headlines.
Live from Washington, D.C., the capital of the divided states of America, it's time for the show that brings you both sides of the issues that matter. In the left corner, I'm political analyst and progressive Democrat Garland Nixon.
And in the right corner, I am Republican investigative reporter Lee Stranahan.
Welcome to Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan. In round one, tragedy strikes as a gunman wounds House minority Steve Scalise and several others at a baseball game in Virginia. Now that the shooting is over, where will the discussion lead? In round two, Congress pushes forward with new sanctions on Russia as Rex Tillerson pushes back. How the Russiagate accusations are affecting policy in the real world. And last but not least, in round three, Donald Trump turns 71 and becomes the oldest living president to serve. Ronald Reagan was 69 when he was sworn in. And up to six more officials are being charged in connection with the Flint, Michigan water crisis. That's all coming up and more on today's episode of Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan. Well, let's start off, Lee. We're going to start off going straight to you because I understand you were the first camera on the scene. I understand you can kind of really let us know what was going on today. So fill us in case you haven't been paying attention. There was a shooting. There was a gunman who attacked members of Congress who were practicing for a baseball game. He came out with an assault rifle. He fired many, many rounds. We've heard 50. We've heard 100. But the bottom line is there were approximately, what, four people injured?
There were four. There were four people injured. Two of the Capitol Police. There was Steve Scalise,
who was the majority whip.
And he's in critical condition.
He's in critical condition?
That's what has been reported. He's in critical condition right now.
And I understand, like, and a staffer was hit in the
Staffer.
So talk about, tell us about it.
So I'm in a grumpy mood, God. I was up at about 4:30 this morning anyway, which, my sons are out here with me. And we moved into a new apartment last night. So I was up early. New apartment's great. And getting ready to come into my office here at about 7 o'clock this morning, a little after that, 7:30. And I was dressed, I dressed nice, and sometimes I dress casual. So I was dressed casually. Suddenly this report comes in that there's been a shooting. It's 10 minutes away. And so I'm kind of like, okay, I got to put on a tie and get down there. So my sons and I got down there. We're, like you say, the first camera on the scene. I interviewed witnesses. I talked to a guy who ran a coffee shop. Now, I've covered shootings before. I covered the Umpqua Community College shooting. I've covered the Pulse shooting. I covered the AME shooting. And I never like covering these aside from the obvious that it's...
You're a journalist, and that's a tragedy. What you enjoy
that's
to do.
Right.
There's journalism.
There's not much for a journalist to do, and I don't like breaking stories because the fog of war is always going on, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You don't know. A lot of times they'll say, well, there's three people, there were three shooters. And it turns out four witnesses saw one shooter, right?
Or so, as in the Dallas, Texas, where there was one shooter who was a trained military guy, and he knew to shoot and move
that's
to
exactly
give the appearance
right. That's
of a
exactly
number of
right.
shooters.
So people so thought people for a long sure, time yeah. that there was a number of shooters, yes. And so luckily, we got everything right, but I was warning people as we did a Periscope this morning. It was a featured Periscope, had like 50,000 views or something. And but let me talk about the stuff that the mainstream media is not going to talk about. First, I got a question in. So there was a guy, Congressman Mo Brooks from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing interviews down there, and he was one of the people who saw what happened.
Mm-hmm.
He saw this guy come up and shoot. And so here's the question. Andrea, if we could play that. Here's the question I asked Congressman Brooks this morning. Let's play that. Congressman, have you been worried about the atmosphere of violence? We've seen Kathy Griffith with the beheaded head of Donald Trump. We've seen Snoop Dogg shoot the president. Is this concern you, this media environment?
We in the United States Congress have always been high-profile targets. The president, of course, is the highest-profile target of the terrorists and the bad guys. But you saw what happened with 9/11. A lot of people in the Washington, D.C. area who helped the United States government function, we understand we're high-profile targets. Kathy Giffords drove that home when she was shot and some other people were killed in Arizona. We've had other kinds of threats that occur on a regular basis. I've had my name on the internet with a bounty.
Now, of course, he means Gabby Giffords.
Right, yeah.
He misspoke.
Yeah, everybody knows.
He was frazzled. He was frazzled. So I just want to point that out. So here's the thing about this, Garland. This is what bothers me about it. The shooter has a big picture of Bernie Sanders on his page. And I had no conjecture about this until it was confirmed. But now it's confirmed the guy was a Bernie shooter. Now, it was a Bernie supporter. The shooter was a Bernie supporter whose brother told CNN he's a Trump opponent who's upset. Now, we talked a little about the Kathy Griffin thing. I said she's a comedian and whatever. But, you know, she clearly crossed the line there for a lot of people, and CNN let her go. We never talked about the Snoop Dogg thing where Snoop made a music video that showed him shooting Trump. We have not talked about this Shakespeare in the Park thing that's going on in New York where they're doing Julius Caesar, and it's Julius Caesar happens to look like Trump. But let's forget art for a second. This just needs to be said, and I'm going to say it because it needs to be said, and I'm going to go into more detail about it later tonight on a Periscope. There is a double standard between the left and the right on this stuff. If this guy was a Republican and he had attacked Democrats, the news media, the establishment news media, would be doing story after story after story after story after story. Danger, you know, era of Trump. Has it gone too far? Danger. You are not going to see the mainstream media. And when I was in the White House before, I was trying to ask a question. I had two questions I wanted to ask. And this is provable because I was doing Periscopes at the time from the White House. The second question was about CrowdStrike. That's when Breitbart finally asked me to leave. But prior to that, the question I wanted to ask about was the growing leftist threat of violence with these Antifa groups and these other groups who are explicitly leftist. And this goes back to the 60s. Now, the reason it's more dangerous, in my opinion, because there are people on the right sometimes who commit violence, but the media is not in denial about it, and the media does not help them along. Whereas, and I've said this before, but it's important to understand, that guy who did the shooting in Dallas was a Black Lives Matter, Black Liberation advocate. Huey P. Newton, for instance, hero, I mean, the founder with Bobby Seale of the Black Panthers, murdered a prostitute in cold blood and then tried to have the witness executed. I'm going to say that again because it's absolutely undeniable. He escaped to Cuba for 3 years. Now, my point is, that's pretty significant. Murdering a teenager in cold blood is significant. And by the way, he didn't do this like, it's not like a Malcolm X situation where he'd committed crimes earlier in life and then changed his life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I would say this.
Let me just make this point. You don't hear the left ever say that. They did a taxpayer-funded film, Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution. It was on PBS last year, during Black History Month last year. They didn't even mention that Huey P. Newton. Is her life not worth something?
Well, a couple of things here. Let's start here. Number one.
I could go on.
Yeah, but I'm going to go over the thing with this. Number one, the Huey Newton stuff, in my opinion, is totally and absolutely unrelated to this. What happened to Huey? This is my opinion. What happened with Huey P. Newton back in 1960, whatever. The fact of the matter is this. You're losing the millennials, and you're even losing me, and I ain't even a millennial, because I really don't know much of anything, and most people have no idea.
Here's my point. This is my point. Not back in the 60s. Last year, they did a film about the Panthers, and they bury the leftist violence. That's my point,
Garland. My point is, it's unrelated for this reason. You know me. I have my ideology, but I'm not a particularly partisan guy, right? I'm not particularly partisan. I have my ideology. So here's the way I look at it. You know, when the whole Gabby Giffords thing. At the time, there was a lot of noise made because there were, if you remember, there's Sarah Palin making statements about we got to lock and load. There was Michelle Bachmann saying, you know, making these types of statements. There were a lot of statements being made that, and I said then that I felt those things are irresponsible. The reason being because there are a lot of people in this country. There are people like you and I who can have this conversation. Unfortunately, there are people in this country who are unhinged and who can't have a reasonable conversation and necessarily and act in a reasonable manner. My point here is this. That's why even now, I don't go back and forth from the right to the left. I said back then that is a bad move.
What were you saying is a bad move? I said back then that
I felt that it wasn't responsible, that it was irresponsible for the gun references that were made by the Michelle Bachmanns and the...
But that's not irresponsible.
Let me finish. I said then that I felt it was irresponsible. And I say now, and you know, we've been on the show talking about it. I have said two things. Number one, that the whole head cut off Trump thing was irresponsible. See, I don't go back and forth from left to right. Irresponsible is irresponsible, and I don't care who does it. And the other part of it is this. My other point that I'm making here is this. This is a bigger thing that I so vehemently disagree with in politics. So one of the things that I vehemently disagree with. And for those who, I think I'm opposed to Trump's policies, right? But here's what I say. We're always making it about the person. There's these evil people and we're the good people. And once you make people evil, then you can do anything to do with evil. Let me finish this. You can do anything to evil people because they're evil. And that makes you a good person. That it's a mistake to pretend that Donald Trump is the most evil guy in the world, which is people do. And him and his minions are evil. When the fact is, if you oppose their policies, go after their policies.
And we agree on that. And I appreciate you saying that. And I don't think you personally are the problem, Garland. Here's what I'm pointing out. There is hypocrisy going on. Now, let me talk about the Black Lives Matter movement. The Black Lives Matter movement, their hero is Assata Shakur, period.
That's false.
No, it's not
false.
It is. No, it is not.
Yes,
hang on. Let me finish. I can show you photo after photo after photo of the black. First off, the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement are three women. Patrice Cullors, Alicia Opal Tometi, and Alicia Garza.
I don't know who they are.
I will show you. Just because you don't know who they are, that's who founded it.
I'm telling you, nobody knows who the hell they are, but
you
know
everybody,
who they are.
No, everybody knows who they are. Who knows anything about Black Lives Matter? Furthermore, they were invited. They've been invited to panel after panel. Furthermore, they said their heroes, Assata Shakur.
I don't know who knows who they are. And who knows who Assata Shakur
they're
is.
The women's who they're the women who founded Black Lives Matter.
I'm telling you, they're irrelevant. Nobody knows who they are.
And they're the women. So I don't know why you want to deny this, but they're the women who founded it. Furthermore, at every event. They would talk about Assata Shakur, and I could show you Assata taught me shirts at every Black Lives Matter event. I've gone to protest after protest. I guarantee you, Garland, if we went to a Black Lives Matter protest, it would take me about 5 minutes to find an
you
Assata taught me
that,
shirt.
But I've been to them, and I haven't seen them. I never heard of these. I've never heard of Assata Shakur.
Google Assata taught
me. I rest my case. The way I would find out about Assata is by Googling this person, because I know
I'm not saying
I've worked with
you
people
know
who are
about
working.
It.
I've worked with a lot of people who are working on this issue, and they don't know who you. This is an esoteric conversation, an academic conversation.
This is
people that are doing it. Don't know.
This sort of denialism on your part, Garland, is exactly
the
problem. No, it's not the truth. You know what? Here's the thing, Garland. When Steve Bannon was said, "Well, the alt right," when the alt right does not actually mean anything when you first hear it. The term alt right has no tinge of racism in it.
And it's not an organization,
now,
is it?
Now
it's just
a label. Now we know that Richard Spencer is the guy who came up with the term alt-right.
Right.
And he did it for a reason. And so it's not, first off, it's not a term I ever used, but it's a term also I wouldn't use now because it means something.
But it's not
but
an organization. Just like Black Lives Matter.
Wait a second. You're saying it's not an organization, but don't tell me the media has not tried to make it seem like it is. Over and over and over again. This is exactly my point.
The media says it's basically like an ideology, not a
right.
Not
and Black
a,
Lives
not
Matter
a
is an it is an ideology. In fact,
not an organization.
Black liberation ideology. And by the way, Assata Shakur was part of the Black Liberation Army. Does Black Liberation actually mean anything, Garland? Can we talk about Stokely Carmichael or Frantz Pineau?
I don't know who Frantz Pineau is.
Frantz Fanon wrote The Wretched of the Earth. He's one of the major thinkers in Black liberation theology. Barack Obama bragged about reading Frantz Fanon. Just because you don't know who he is, but Obama does, and Eric Holder does. And Eric Holder, can we talk about the fact
that's why I said it's an
Eric
academic.
Holder,
you're talking about academics. You're talking to people
I'm
with
not
JDs.
Talking about
I'm telling you about people that are on the street doing stuff. They don't have JDs. They're not
when
reading.
You talk about academics,
or
Garland.
Or Snow Cone or whoever.
Right. Academics like the people at Berkeley, right? Who've committed violence. There's a connection between academia and violence and the left. There's a reason.
There's definitely a connection between violence and the far right. There's no question. They're blowing up the Oklahoma City building.
No.
When's the last time you saw a Black Lives Matter person blow up the Oklahoma City building?
This is a perfect example. So you want to do that. Who knew who? Have you seen one time? I'm going to tell you one that you cannot name a single time. Show me people wearing McVeigh taught me shirts. You won't find them. This is completely bogus.
Know who McVeigh is.
Assata Shakur killed cops, period.
Who knows who
She's a hero. She's a hero to the left.
No, she isn't. She's a
she
ghost.
She is absolutely a hero to the left.
I guarantee you they don't
know. I can show you Lisa Fithian with a sign. Lisa, do you know who Lisa Fithian is?
No, I don't know.
She's a major organizer who's part of the peace and justice movement, who there's a sign of her saying, all my heroes kill cops.
You had to do a lot of research to find this stuff out.
No, I don't have to do a lot of research.
Who these people
I
are.
Show up at events just because you, I don't even know if you don't know who they are. Do you know
why
who the Angola 3 are?
I knew who they were.
Do you know who the Black Panthers are? Let's start there.
Let me say this.
Have you heard of the Black Panthers?
I'll say this.
Have you heard of them?
As much work as I've done on police accountability, I have never met anybody who was a Black Panther. In my life, as much as I've done, I was paid in Baltimore by the ACLU to work on that issue, to organize on that issue, to go to get laws changed. And I've never met anybody.
Okay,
you know where I
have you
about
heard
Black
of the
Panthers
mass incarceration? Let's go.
News.
Let's try it this way. Have you heard of mass incarceration as an issue?
Certainly.
Have you heard of the school to prison pipeline?
Certainly.
Okay. So let's talk about mass incarceration. Have you heard of Michelle Alexander?
Certainly.
Okay,
she's a famous author.
Michelle Alexander wrote the book, The New Jim Crow,
yeah.
Mass Incarceration, The New Jim Crow.
Right.
Who is her hero and inspiration?
I don't know.
Angela Davis.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, because anyone can look it up on video.
Because
go to
these
YouTube.
Esoteric conversations.
It's
that mean
not
nothing
esoteric.
To the people on the street.
You know who Michelle Alexander
yes,
is,
do.
Right? Do you know who George Jackson is?
Never heard the name
okay, you've never heard of him, but do you know who Angela Davis
yes.
is? Angela Y. Davis. Is the hero of Michelle Alexander and the woman who Michelle Alexander, who you know who she is, says Angela Davis was my inspiration. Angela Davis, who helped try to bust George, allegedly, she helped try to bust. Angela Davis's shotgun was taped to the neck of a judge. And Jonathan Jackson.
What year was that?
This was 1970.
Who the heck knows what happened
Michelle
in 1970
Alexander. Something. See, this is the thing, Garland. I'm giving you a direct connection. You know who Michelle
not
Alexander is. Michelle
most
Alexander
people,
important?
1970 alleged.
Is Michelle Alexander important?
I mean, people know who she is.
No way.
She
is
she
wrote
important?
A,
she wrote
a
book
important?
That a lot of people read.
She,
I don't know if
okay.
you call her important. She wrote a book that a lot of people
she
read.
She wrote a book that's considered the Bible of the modern mass incarceration movement. It's the most influential book. You can't name another one that's more influential. She says her hero is Angela Davis. I can show
that's
you
her
videotape
her hero
of her
can be
sitting.
Wants to be.
What?
I said that's so what. So her hero was Angela Davis.
So her
what
hero
that
was
make?
A. So her hero was a woman whose gun was taped to the neck of a judge who got his head blown off.
She still
when
a
the
great
sawed
book.
Off shotgun went off in the Marin County courthouse massacre.
She still wrote a great book.
Who did?
Her hero was whatever she wrote.
No,
a book. Book
she didn't write a great book, Garland.
Well,
she
not,
wrote.
You don't like. A
she
book.
Wrote a piece of leftist right. garbage,
you don't
which
like
is
it.
In favor of getting every single. The goal of that book is to get every Black person out of prison. That's the goal.
Oh man, that's a terrible goal. There,
it is a terrible goal, Garland. If I said I want to get every white person out of prison, that would be obviously
yeah,
racist
you gotta start
and
somewhere.
Wrong.
Oh no, but you'd have to find some in prison for start. I don't think
Garland.
There are any white people
oh
in prison.
Oh my God!
There.
Okay,
maybe in Idaho.
We have more coming up, Garland. What's in the second round?
Oh my! I don't. We're going to talk about possible Russia sanctions and things going on in Congress. You listen to Nixon and Stranahan. The name of the show is Fault Lines.
Fault Lines. Fault Lines.
We are back. It's time for Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan, round two.
And we're on Facebook Live. Don't forget, you can go to the Sputnik News Agency page on Facebook Live, and you can watch and listen to this show live video. And the video stays up afterwards. You can share it with your friends. And they don't have to be friends. They could be any enemies. Share it with everybody.
Now, so I told you I'm grumpy.
And iTunes, let's not forget.
You could perhaps you could tell from the first round that I'm grumpy, Garland.
Yeah.
Look. This doesn't make me less grumpy. And I got to say this once again. You're listening to us. I'm going to do this properly. You're listening to us on Radio Sputnik.
And we're about to talk about Russia sanctions.
Russia radio, right. We're about
you
to talk about that.
About the Russian sanctions. So, you know, like the Hillary people and Rachel Maddow and Louise Mensch are all lined up right now to call us Kremlin puppet.
I hope that Rachel Maddow, Louise Mensch, and Hillary Clinton are all sitting around a radio together. Let me just say this. I'm going to say it in the most.
Which wouldn't shock me, I might add.
I'm going to say this in the most grumpy way possible, even though I'm not taking it out on you, Garland, because I think you'll agree with me on this. And by the way, I think you'll agree with me whether we were working for Radio Sputnik or not. These Russian sanctions are stupid. Now, let me point out something. I don't know of anything new that happened. This is the part that I'm missing, Garland. Someone, did I miss something that Russia did?
Nothing.
that I'm supposed to be like, oh my gosh, I'm glad
you
did the
sanctions because yesterday they blew up the moon.
I'm so sleepy. I wouldn't have noticed that. But let me say this. Let me say something that you're not going to say because you wouldn't because you're not a Republican. I'm really ticked off at the Republicans here.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say the P word, but my son's here and I don't want to offend his delicate virgin ears. But I'm really upset at the Republicans on this. And here's why, Garland. Let's try this, Garland. Let's try this as an experiment, okay? I know it's going to be painful, but try this. Pretend you're a Republican. Just go with me for a second.
Okay.
Just pretend you're a Republican. It's kind of nice, isn't it? Okay, so now picture this. If you look at this from a Republican perspective, this is suicide. The Republicans voting for sanctions
yes.
against Russia is political suicide. Here's why. Because the entire Russia narrative is bogus. The whole thing is bogus. The connections between Trump, we saw this with Sessions, the collusion thing is bogus. Furthermore, as I've talked about many times on the show, and it's provable, the DNC never let the FBI look at their servers. There's no publicly available proof that the Russians hacked the DNC. And when you demonize Russia,
you're playing into that premise.
Absent of them doing something. Now, by the way, even this thing that happened the other day, which Trump came out and said, and I'm going to point out something. I don't know all of the details, but I'm going to tell you what I know. They arrested this guy, Novotny, who's a major protester against mm-hmm. Vladimir mm-hmm. Putin. Okay. I'm going to tell you what I know about that. When I looked into it, and don't take my word for it, look into it a little bit. It seemed like Novotny had a permit to protest in one part of Moscow.
And he protested in a different part.
And they said, basically, we're not going to do that. We're going to protest here. Now, should he have been arrested or whatever? I don't know. But my point is, it seemed to me like it was a middle finger. Does that make sense?
Well, can I say something? I've seen it happen in America where somebody had
right.
a permit to, working with the ACLU, we've done a lot of stuff on people not getting permits. We have defended, the KKK in Annapolis when they tried to get a permit and they didn't want them to give them the permit to march. And we defended them and said, you got to give them, people can counter protest, but you got to have them. But I've seen it happen in America
yeah.
where people had a permit to protest in one area and they protested in another area and some people were arrested. So
that's
not to defend Russia. It's just reality.
And that's as close as I can come to when I try to think about what the Russians had done.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's whatever, agree or disagree. And again, I'm not in favor of protesters being jailed generally.
No.
Right.
And
unless
if they were wrong, they were
unless
wrong.
Unless they're violence,
you know what I
mean? Right?
If they were wrong, then they needed to be arrested. Whatever. Or if they were clear, then and Russia shouldn't have arrested them. Then I oppose it. Whatever the case may
That's
be.
That's right. And I'm not opposed to Trump coming out and saying we condemn this. But the sanctions weren't about that. Okay. And again, I'm just literally trying to go like, okay, what happened? The serious stuff we've talked about before many times on the show. So. But aside from all that, it's politically suicide to me. And I don't know why the Republicans are going along with it, Garland. So there, you can stop thinking like a Republican, but you see my point, right?
Right. And if you read all about it, I mean, they're saying things about they're going after the Russians for cyber attacks. So basically, I agree with you. And I thought to myself,
I tell you what
it makes me think of. And it's the same type of thing. When Barack Obama, you had a Democrat that was the president, and they were doing the Iran deal, and of course you expect that their party is going to be supporting them. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz was fighting against the Iran deal, and a lot of Democrats were furious, saying, "Look, your guy's in. You're not supposed to do this, you idiot!" Right? And I agree with you in the same way. Of course, you know, I'm sure Lindsey Graham and John McCain, two of your favorite Republicans,
right? Right.
Your favorite guys were 100%, behind this. But so what you got is you've got people who the mainstream, the establishment Democrats are trying to create a premise, and the premise is Donald Trump is an illegitimate president and that he is a puppet for Putin. And even though I'm no fan of Donald Trump by any stretch of the imagination, I still think that that's dangerous to do because, I mean, you're talking about two nuclear powers, first of all. And secondly, that That, from my perspective, the Democratic Party should be focusing on policy and not this foolishness. But you're right. If I were a Republican, I'd be furious saying, for goodness sake, you're playing right into the Democrats' hands. And so if I was a Republican, I'd feel the same way.
They're creating this. And like I say, this has nothing to do with this. I have no problem with criticizing Russia, particularly if they do something wrong. And I, like I say, and even this Novati thing we talked about, I don't know how I feel about it.
You know, this was in it.
But here's what I know well enough. The reason I say I looked into it mm-hmm. is because what I know is I don't trust the media. When the media says Russia did this, I'm going to look into it a little bit more. Does that make sense?
I got to read some around some stuff from around the world, the BBC, Irish News or whatever, so I can get an eye, because I don't trust the Post and the Washington Post and the New York Times. Those kind of places, I don't trust them at all. But one of the things that's here from the perspective of the Republicans, it says the amendment would impose new sanctions against Moscow and establish a process for Congress to review any attempt by Trump to relax or end sanctions. Here's why that's stupid for Republicans. What happens if they lose the Senate in 2018 and the Democrats? I'm not saying they will or won't, but if they lose the Senate,
right.
They've just handed the keys to the Democrats, and the Democrats at any time can say to Trump, you can't release, you can't drop sanctions. To me, it is, from a partisan perspective, it is stupid for them to do that.
Well,
I agreed with most of the Democrats, I would probably be all for it, but I don't agree with that wing of the party.
But I'm telling you, and we've talked about it before, and I've said I'm going to bring up Soros every day, so I'm going to bring him up today. Deal. No, but there's a reason I bring him up, is because when I looked into this and when I started to research this Russia narrative, first off, let's just go with this. You know enough about Soros, where if I said that there's some bad blood between Soros and Russia, I think you'd agree.
I'm no fan of Soros.
But no, I know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, didn't they like label him a criminal or something?
Right. They did. And he's clearly, what I'm saying is they're beefing. Russia and Soros are beefing, right? And again, just without even saying who's right and who's wrong, there's clearly a lot of animosity. Now, we also know that Soros is one of the biggest funders behind this stuff, behind this whole resist movement, which, by the way, I think that the shooting this morning in Alexandria was an offshoot of. I've not been able to confirm this, but here's the thing. This shooter, you talked about this a little bit in the last segment. You said you think it's, and again, I give you credit for this, Garland. You said you think it's, and by the way, I'll tell you who else I give credit to. I will give credit to Bernie Sanders for coming out and saying that this shooting this morning sickened him. You got to understand, my view on the left is that they're suckers. In other words, my view on the left
is the same as like the left's view on the right. We pretty much both think each side are suckers.
No, I think it's different. I think the left is based on this idea of, hey, we're in favor of peace and equality and everything else. And it never works out that way. And they just don't get it. But again, I say this as somebody who used to be on the left. But my point here is that Soros clearly has a huge, there's two things that are factual. Soros clearly has a huge problem with Russia, A, and B, he's one of the major funders of all these organizations and the Hillary Clinton campaign. We know Hillary Clinton has come out strongly against Russia. So what I'm saying is, when Soros is doling out the money to all these organizations that just happen to be anti-Russia, it's not a shock to me. Does that make sense? In other words, it's feeding, I guess, let me put it a different way. The funding that he does, this isn't controversial, fuels his own obsessions.
You got to understand this.
One of his obsessions is with Russia.
I've been doing a lot of research lately myself, and here's what I found. There is a hole, even outside of Soros, there is on the, what you would call the left and what I call is that centrist elitist machine. There is a giant Cold War machine. Right. That I think the Clintons are part of, the Cold War Democrats, the Scoop Jackson Democrats. There's this Cold War Democrat machine that was kind of lying dormant, waiting. And when Hillary came back, the Clintons came back, who were vehemently anti-Russian. They were vehemently anti-Soviet. They were the Cold War Democrats and they're Soros people. When they came back and they started that narrative again, Russia, Russia, Russia is bad. Then this whole Cold War machine, the Foreign Policy Research Institute, all these other Cold War machines all woke back up like, oh boy, it's our time again. But something I want to, that I think is important, and it brings out what you're saying about the Republicans. So Rex Tillerson, meanwhile, so Donald Trump has told Rex Tillerson to repair our relationship with Russia. And Rex Tillerson says this: I have yet to have a bilateral one-on-one, a poolside conversation with a single counterpart in any country in Europe, Middle East, even Southeast Asia that has not said to me, please address your relationship with the Russian Federation. It has to be improved. Tiller said on Tuesday during testimony before the Senate Appropriations Committee on Foreign Operations. So the fact of the matter is this: the whole world believes what I'm sure a lot of you, what you believe and what the, most of the Bernie supporters believe. And that is, it is very dangerous to have two countries with many thousands of nuclear weapons, as the term you would use that old hip hop stars used to use, to be beefing, that it's far better. The rest of the world's looking at it and saying, look, you guys may be arguing, but if missiles start flying and 1,000 nukes go, we're all dead. So the world is saying to the Trump administration through Tillerson, look, guys, you're putting us all in danger. You need to fix this. Apparently, Trump has said to Tillerson, fix this, but we got a Congress, both this establishment Congress, that is so bent up with this Cold War mentality that they want to throw it into, you know, they want to throw this whole thing down the toilet. And of course, you and I are going to get attacked just for saying that. And I'll say this. These are the same things that I've been saying on Pacifica for the past year, long before I even heard of Sputnik. I was saying the same things, but we're going to be called Kremlin puppets because that's what they do now. If you go against the mainstream, if you go against the establishment.
Well, and before I address that, let me point out when I use old school hip hop terms, we've established this before. It's because I'm not only down, but I've been down from day one. So if you want to hear me drop some Big Daddy Kane, I'm willing to do that at any time, or perhaps the overweight lover MC Heavy D. But let me point out, see?
Yeah,
see?
Oh, man.
See?
Oh,
there
man.
You go. I told you.
Go to the KRS-One or any of those guys.
I am KRS-One, absolutely. Yep. EPMD,
Being the Radical, I was a big Public Enemy fan.
Yeah, no,
My favorite album by Public Enemy, most people do one, it's called, and they actually had one that said Public Enemy's Greatest Hits. But being different, they had one called Public Enemy's Greatest Misses.
Greatest Misses, yeah. Yeah, or I'm a Fear of a Black Planet fan, but yeah. I digress.
But Tillerson, what do you think about all that?
Well, okay, so 2 points. Let me just jump back to source for a quick second. Remember James Pickering? James Pickering, Russian ambassador under Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
What I'm saying is Soros and Hillary are tied at the hip. So you and I, when I talk about Soros, you can't.
Oh, I agree.
They're so intermingled. Now, about what Tillerson said, let me talk about what's happened here. They have created a situation. By they, I mean Soros, Clinton, media. I'll just call that complex.
This establishment.
The
thing.
Establishment, right?
Which runs on both sides of the aisle, because you got a bunch of establishment.
And there are some Republicans who've done it, but what they've done is they've created what I'll call a cringe reaction, mm-hmm. right? Which is they've made it so if you come out and say like anything other than Putin's the worst. I mean, look, John McCain, you talk about Republicans. John McCain said the other day, Vladimir Putin is worse than ISIS.
Now, hyperbole, anyone?
Again, what? What? My whole point here is this is what their narrative is. If I can get you, if I can demonize Garland Nixon, if I can say Garland is he's worse than ISIS, everything else. Then if anybody goes, I don't know, I kind of, Garland, I agree with him sometimes. Oh, I see. Well, you're now worse than ISIS.
Or those of us who say, look, I don't agree with the person's policies. Let's talk about his policies and let's
right.
not make each person the demon.
So what they've done is, and they did this in the run up to the election. They did this after the election. They did this right after the inauguration. They've doing it every day on TV. They've made it so you can't. We talked about her the other day, Louise Mensch. Louise Mensch has literally tied everybody. She's got a list of 50 or 60 people that tie into Russia. She said
everyone.
Steve Bannon, my friend, she said she had Andrew Breitbart, my friend, killed. She said that. And how was she punished for that?
Oh, the New York Times, MSNBC.
The New York Times, right. They've made her into a thing. She can say anything she wants to. Kurt Eichenwald, same thing. Kurt Eichenwald from Newsweek. Crazy stuff. But what they've done is, they're trying to make it so if you go like, well, it seems to me like we should have better relations with Russia. And really, but it seems like they're fighting terrorism.
Oh, you're a Russian spy.
That's exactly right. And by doing that, what they're trying to do, it's a form of thought control. It's what I say.
Oh, yeah. They're suppressing.
Yeah.
They're saying we have this premise. And if you don't go along with it, you'll be punished. You know, my friend Lee Camp, who's been a comedian, who's been saying the same stuff for 20 years, the New York Times did a hit piece on him. If you're on the left...
Because Lee's on RT now, right?
Yep, and if you're on the left, I know I have another friend, Katie Johnstone, who writes a lot. She's on the left. If you're on the left and you don't go along with the whole Russiagate premise, now you are going to get taken apart by... this establishment media, as basically it's like, I feel, I keep saying, it's like the Cold War. It's like, it's McCarthyism, where they're going after people saying, oh, if you say, well, I don't believe that, I haven't seen evidence. Oh, you're obviously a Kremlin puppet too.
Well, and here's the thing. This is what bothers me about it. You and I have talked about this before off the air as well. I don't, like, I have no problem. If the media wants to, either you or I, or preferably you and I, we'll go on any media outlet and discuss. If they want to call us Kremlin puppets, bring it.
Right.
If they want to do that, because we have, in fact, articulate, nuanced positions on these issues, that the fact is when people hear them and they go, well, wait a second, I thought these guys were Kremlin puppets. But it's, for instance, the Russia's supposed to be into Trump, right? Now, you hung around here at Sputnik. How many pro-Trump people are there?
No, next to none.
You're looking at
them. Yeah, I was about to say.
Right? And I'm just going to point out that if the narrative is true, if what they're telling you is true, that Russia is pro-Trump, explain why.
They ain't real good at it, are they?
They're not real good. Exactly right.
I got to read this to you because it comes from your favorite guy. And it's just what we're saying. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham... has predicted that Trump would ultimately sign the bill, but warned that if he did not, Congress would override his veto. Any member of the Congress who doesn't want to punish Russia for what they've done is betraying democracy, Graham said on CBS's Face the Nation. And if the president doesn't sign this bill to punish Russia, he would be betraying democracy. There, here's a guy who, if you ask me, if I were a Republican, which I'm not, I'd say he's betraying his own party by saying that.
I would take down Graham's arguments in about five questions. Where's the proof of the hacking? Why didn't the DNC allow the FBI to look into it? Where is there any
evidence
proof
of anything? How about some evidence?
It is absolutely amazing. All right. One more round coming up here on Fault Lines with Nixon Stranahan. It's a big happy birthday to Donald Trump. Next on Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan.
Fault Lines. Lines.
Welcome to round three of Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan. Don't forget, you can go to the Sputnik News Agency's Facebook page, and Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan is on their live video. You can watch it, and afterwards you can share the video with your friends, and you can go to iTunes, just look up Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan, just probably search Fault Lines and find it, and you can subscribe, you can leave a review, you can leave a five-star rating you can leave, and you'll be happy, we'll be happy, everyone will be happy. And you know who's happy today? Donald Trump's happy. I guess he's happy. I tell you what Donald Trump is. He's 71 years old today. That's a new milestone as the oldest president ever to serve. The reason being because when Ronald Reagan came into office, he was 69. So Donald Trump's actually older than Ronald Reagan. And so it's his birthday, and I think it's pretty interesting. And, you know, Lee, here's the thing that I run into, and the senator all over the place, right? And that is this. I don't sufficiently hate Donald Trump, and that's unacceptable to the resistance. You know what I mean? What I find on the left is more into policy. When I say the left, I mean the Mies, the Lee Camps, the Bernie people, right? Most of us don't sufficiently. One of the reasons they went after Lee Camp was because they said, oh, what about Trump? And he says, he's just another one of the elitists, another one of the billionaires, and I think he's part of the problem, just like the rest of them. He didn't say he is the epitome of all evil. He is Beelzebub. He is the evil angel of light. He said about Trump like he felt about all of the billionaires out there, which is what I say. That's certainly a respectable thing to say because it's not about one guy. It's Trump's birthday. The only reason I brought this, I want to get into something with Megyn Kelly and Alex Jones. But I think this beginning of...
By the way, when you say that, it sounds wrong.
That sounds really weird. Megyn Kelly's Alex Jones interview, upcoming Alex Jones interview. But my point on Trump's birthday is this, and that is, there are a lot of things that I oppose about Donald Trump. His policies, a lot of things
but
about
him. But his birthday is not one of them, you're saying?
But to me, I'm going to say this, Lee. This is who Garland Nixon is. This is what I believe about hating people. If you hate, I'll put it like this. If you cut open an orange, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get orange juice. You're never going to get pear juice. If you cut open an apple, you're going to get apple juice. You're never going to get pear juice. You know why? Because the only thing that can come out of an orange is what's inside of it. And if you hate people, it has nothing to do with them. The only thing that can come out of you is what is inside of you. So, no, I don't hate Donald Trump, because for me to hate Donald Trump would mean that hate was coming out of me. And anytime I feel that anger or that way towards someone else, I say it doesn't have anything to do with that person. That's coming out of me. I better, you know, look at myself. So no to the people who are angry at me that I've had on social media because I don't sufficiently hate Donald Trump. No, I don't hate Donald Trump. I don't hate anyone. I don't hate Donald Trump. I don't hate Vladimir Putin.
How about Hillary?
Well, you know, I'm just joking. No, I don't hate Hillary.
Okay.
I do not hate Hillary. I'm very angry at her, and I hate what she's done, and I'm unhappy with her policy, but I don't have it in me to hate.
Well, and here's the thing I say about Sanders, too. I'm not a fan of Sanders' ideology. I'm not a fan. Look, I think the leftist ideology, for reasons I said in the first segment, is deadly. That being said, here's one thing I have not said about Sanders, and you hear no one say about Sanders, is you never hear this. Bernie Sanders, that effing hypocrite with his $1 million blah, 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 right? Sanders is a guy who does as much as you can in D.C., walks the talk. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Yes.
In other words, I think one of the appeals about him, one of the disgusting things about Hillary Clinton, is she is part of this whole cabal. And by the way, when I mentioned Soros, it's the same thing. This is Soros. It's not just a matter of ideology. Soros is a guy who, in my opinion, uses the left, uses leftist ideology, uses the ideas of peace and justice in order to make a buck, a lot of bucks, $1 billion. Okay. And the Clintons do the same thing, right? So Bernie's a guy who is not in it. He's not in it for the money. I don't know how else to put it. Even a guy like Anthony Weiner, you could tell, everyone knows it now. He talked a good game when it came to certain stuff, but obviously he was in it for the celebrity fan aspects. John Edwards, there were people who could just be like, No.
Bernie's been pretty much saying the same thing since he was like 14. You know what I mean? He's going to have the ruffled suit, the hair's all over. He's not going around trying to be Mr. GQ. And you know what I mean?
And he's been saying the same thing since he was 14, which is 150 years ago. I say, that's the thing. So Sanders, at least he's not a hypocrite. His ideology is, again, horrible and deadly, but
it's fantastic and perfect and would save the world if we would ever be wise enough to institute it, unlike what we've
Garland,
done.
Come on.
We're doomed.
Garland,
That's okay. That's okay. We'll have fun on the way out.
I'm begging you, Garland, please. I can't. Okay, so
FTB. I need an FTB
shirt.
You're
taking advantage of me. That's what you're doing.
You're
you know that I'm tired. You know that I'm tired. I'm a little punch drunk here. But let's talk about this. And by the way, the other thing I should point out is the reason Donald Trump, you'd mentioned, he's happy on his birthday. His wife, Melania, is in town. I don't know if you've seen this Melania, but she's quite fetching.
Yeah, she's attractive. Speaking of that,
she's an attractive young lady.
Segues us right into Megyn Kelly, who, darn it, I almost got on a show one time, but I think I upset her producer.
Yeah, by the way,
I was right, because, you know, I do a lot of Fox. I was right there, and I think I kind of pissed off her producer accidentally, and then he was calling me, and I couldn't go that day, and he wasn't happy. And
I'll tell you another thing I don't like. I don't like this thing that people do where if they don't like somebody, they're suddenly ugly. They do this to women all the time. They'll be like Megyn Kelly, and then if you go like, oh, I hate her, she's ugly. Well, she's not ugly. People would do that to Michelle Obama. Right. And I'm like, I have some problems with Michelle Obama. The way she looks is not one of them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And by the way, if it was, I just wouldn't say anything about it. We've had some first ladies who were matronly, shall we say.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to mention who they are.
Exactly.
You can guess. But I don't think making fun of someone's look.
And I'm a firm believer in, I really believe in this. Stay away from the first lady. You know what I mean? No matter who it is. To me, I think that's over the that's over the lines. I don't believe people do it.
Unless they directly get involved in policy. And the example there would be when Bill Clinton put Hillary Clinton in charge of health care.
Yeah, they could attack her on that. They could attack her on policy.
Position. Ivanka Trump, my problem with Ivanka Trump is not personal. and I think she should be left out. I think she's an adult, but she still should be left out until she's involved in policy, at which point you're fair game. To me, if you're involved in policy, you're fair game.
Now, Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly, I was reading some articles today.
Not a huge fan, by the way.
And I'm not bitter because I couldn't get on her show. Darn it. I'll never forgive her. But I'm not bitter.
And I'm not bitter because she torpedoed a friend of mine who was running for Senate in South Dakota a few years ago. She had her on the show. I'm going to tell this story real briefly.
Okay.
Friend of mine, Dr. Annette Bosworth in South Dakota. I can say this because Dr. Annette's out of town right now, but I love Dr. Annette Bosworth. She's a friend. And I was working with her on the 2014 Senate race. And they, and you know how these shows go, right? So they had Annette on. I'm about 6 feet from Annette. They had her on Megyn Kelly. And they said, we're going to hold you. We're not going to put you on the first segment, but we're going to hold you on the second. Hold her on the third. Hold her on the fourth. So now it's 5 minutes to the end of the show.
Right.
And they put Dr. Annette Bosworth on. And Megyn Kelly goes, by the way, we've just gotten word that you lost the primary. Do you have any comments?
Oh,
right.
Oh,
exactly right. You know what she's doing there.
Yeah.
They held her so they could torpedo her on the air.
Yeah.
This is a thing that happened with Megyn Kelly. And I just thought that was scummy.
That's not a very nice thing
to
do.
But anyway, that's my personal experience.
So what Megyn Kelly is, they're setting up MSNBC or NBC News, wherever they decide to put it on, maybe all of them. She's going to be doing an interview with Alex Jones. And as a result, a lot of people have freaked out. And there are a lot of advertisers, apparently, who are backing away saying, you know, no, we don't want any part of that. And that they shouldn't be. There's a lot of people saying you shouldn't give him this platform. The guy's a nutcase, blah, blah, blah. Here's my opinion, Lee. And I'm sure because both of us have similar opinions on this. I always believe Alex Jones. I don't think much of Alex Jones. I don't go to InfoWars because I don't think much of it. Whoever does should have a right to go there, go there. Alex Jones is a person who a lot of people know who he is. I don't have a problem with the in fact, I think that's what the media should do. I'm a big believer in the protection of unpopular speech and of whether Fidel Castro is alive. I think they're going to do Vladimir Putin, whoever it is. If people don't like this person or if there's all there's, I think we should put people on the air and give them an opportunity to give their opinion. And though I'm no Alex Jones fans, if they interview him, I will watch the Alex Jones interview because that's the only chance I'll get to see him and I'll get to hear something about
it. Do you know when you should listen to InfoWars is tonight at 5:30 p.m. because they're going to have a special guest on.
You.
That would be me. That's
no,
correct.
No, I'm not watching InfoWars. But I would fight for everybody else's right to watch it.
Well, no, I've never been on with Alex. Mm-hmm. Alex just started following me on Twitter, which is weird. He only follows about 350 people, and now I'm one of them. He's never had me on the show, but David Knight, who's a host with Alex,
mm-hmm.
He's one of the hosts on the show. That's what I'm trying to get at. And I like David tremendously, and I think David does great work. And Alex, I think, is a really interesting guy who I've been critical of some stuff Alex has done. And I think the whole rah, rah, rah thing is a little, like, to me, it's not my style.
Yeah.
Although you couldn't tell that from the first segment. But but that being said, I agree with you. Alex deserves a thing. And like I say, I will be on InfoWars tonight talking about this Alexandria thing with David Knight. And I got to say that, to me, Alex Jones is not worse than Lawrence O'Donnell or Rachel Maddow or any number of other people who appear officially.
Right now, he's not when it comes to the
right.
You know, I could have argued in the past they were fairly reasonable, if not left-leaning journalists, but now they've turned into just mad conspiracy theorists about Russia. I can't watch them.
I mean, here's the thing. The New York Times, when the New York Times, as we said before, gives Louise Mensch a notice, and you got to remember, I used to live in Austin like 15 years ago, something like that, 15 years ago. And Alex was well known around town at the time. This was pre-InfoWars. He's in Richard Linklater's film, Waking Life, one of my favorite movies. And he's in Scanner Darkly, the follow-up, brief scenes. So Alex was a well-known Austin character. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, he had a public access show. And again, you know who created Alex Jones? We've talked about this before. Who created Alex Jones? The mainstream media, that's who.
Exactly.
Because here's the thing. When the mainstream media gets story after story after story wrong and hides things, and a guy like Alex Jones comes along, and by the way, you know, I've got to say, I don't agree with everything Alex Jones says. I don't agree with the way he presents it, but Alex Jones sometimes gets stories right that nobody else gets right. And when he gets them wrong, guess what? I don't have to get them wrong with him. Does that make sense?
I understand.
In other words,
I'm a believer that whatever, if he gets them right or wrong, I'm a believer that everything should be out there and people should have an opportunity to watch what they want to watch and let them make a decision. Well, you and I say that all the time.
Yes.
Let people make their own decision. I don't care if you think it's nuts. There's people that think I'm nuts.
And by the way, I'll watch Rachel Maddow. I'll watch O'Donnell. No, but I will, because here's the thing. I want to get different sides of things and I want to know what other people are saying. And so, therefore, some people really don't like it. If they like Alex Jones, they go, well, why would you ever listen to Rachel Maddow? I'm like, because Rachel Maddow.
I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh.
And
agreed with nothing. I used to listen going down the road because I wanted to know what he had to
that's
say.
That's exactly right. And Maddow, the fact is, she's got a very big audience. She's not some obscure figure.
You're right.
She's got a very big audience. And if you don't know what other people are, you should at least watch her, in my opinion, to see what people see in her. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah.
You should at least go, like, okay, I'm going to watch it for that reason. So, I mean, I'll put it like this. I guarantee you there are people who are not going to watch the Megyn Kelly, Alex Jones interview because of Megyn Kelly. I guarantee you a lot of the people who are my audience like Alex Jones 100 times better than they like Megyn Kelly. And by the way, I'm probably one of them. I would be more interested. You know what? If I could sit down, if there were no talking, Megyn Kelly is fetching. No one is, here's another phrase no one's ever said. Two phrases. Number one, Bernie Sanders, that hypocrite. And Alex Jones, he's very fetching. That's another phrase no one has ever said.
I'm going to watch it. And the reason I will watch it, and I'm a person that, you know, I can't even watch MSNBC, none of the three, Fox, and I go on Fox, but I still can't watch Fox, MSNBC, CNN. I can't watch any of the mainstream media anymore for any number of reasons. But I will watch that. And you know why I'll watch that? Because I never get to see Alex Jones. You know what I mean? Because I'm never going to watch InfoWars. I'm going to watch something else. But I never hear or see Alex Jones, just like whoever, the Putin thing. If they said tomorrow, this guy just got out of, you know, he was an ISIS head cutter offer person for the last 5 years. That's what he did. He worked for ISIS and he just cut heads off every day for the last 5 years. And Megyn Kelly's going to interview him. I would watch that interview because I'd want to hear what that person had to say. And to me, it's the opposite. I don't think it's irresponsible to put on Alex Jones. I think it's what they're doing now is irresponsible, but I think putting on different voices, whether you agree with them or not, is the most responsible thing that journalism can do. Because if you don't like Alex Jones, you can look at it and say, oh, that's a bunch of crap. What a jerk. Or you can look at some of his stuff and then look at what he says and compare them. And you may say, oh, man, he's fronting, as they would say back in the old hip hop days. He's fronting.
No, here's the other thing, too. Let me flip it the other way, too, because people have to realize this. As people who appear on TV sometimes, you and I both, you were just on Fox with Eric Bolling and stuff like that. There's another thing you get into, which is, like I say, I'm going to be on InfoWars later today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was I just saying about Alex Jones? Was it all positive and lovey-dovey? No. So then I'm in a position, and I just want people to realize this because it's a weird position to be in. I don't want to be on a network that would require me to just be positive. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If someone from InfoWars heard this and said, gee, Lee wasn't saying all positive stuff about Alex. He was saying he gets stories wrong. Sometimes he doesn't agree with his approach or whatever. And they were like, yeah, we don't want you on the show. My answer would be, okay, great. I don't need to be on that show.
If Sputnik Radio Sputnik did what the mainstream media is alleging that they do, neither one of us would be here.
That's right.
If they told us what to say, neither one of us would be here.
Yeah. So, I mean, as a person who appears on these shows, when Don Lemon asked me to be on the show at CNN, now, by the way, I don't view it as my job if I'm on the Don Lemon show. I don't view it as my job to suck up to Don Lemon, but I don't view it as my job to go out of my way and embarrass him about a subject that's off topic. If he says something, look, it's what we do here every day on the show. Let me just, I'll just be real blunt about it. You and I like each other. We like doing the show together. But if you say something that I think is stupid, I'll say, I think that's stupid and vice versa. Right? So if I go on a show like Don Lemon or like on InfoWars or anybody else, I'm not going to take the time. if I'm going to be on with David today, I don't go, well, let me tell you what I don't like about Alex Jones, because that's weird.
Right.
Does that make
sense? Whatever the topic is, I got a lot of heat. Believe it, I get heat on the left for going on Fox, just for going on. And then people say exactly like, and I'm sure you've heard this. I'll be going on Fox and people say, don't forget to ask him about Seth Rich. Don't forget to ask him about this or that. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, you go on. I mean? You do that if you want to do that. That's what I say.
This is news. Me, I feel like I'm a professional journalist and there's an issue to talk about. I got lots of heat for going on Newsmax. Ah, they're far right wing crazies or whatever. And I said, if they ask me a question, I'm going to give them an honest answer. And if they don't like my answer, they don't have to have me on anymore. They can cut me off or cut the feed, whatever. That's all I'm ever going to do no matter where I am.
The way I like to say it is I don't keep two sets of books. Right. In other words, I try not to say something different.
You mean you don't have a public position and a private position?
Exactly right. That's a good way of putting it. I don't have a public position.
You ain't
going
to get elected saying that to people, are you?
And by the way, if I was on with Alex and Alex Jones said, well, hey, I heard you don't agree with me on everything, I would talk to him about it. I wouldn't be a jerk about it.
Right.
I'd be like, look, here's the issue I have with you. And hopefully he could talk back. And by the way, if somebody said, I was interviewing Michael Tracy. He's on the Young Turks now. I interviewed him on my podcast. We did an hour of the podcast. An hour into the podcast, he said, you know, I don't agree with all your positions. I said, well, like what? He said, well, on Occupy Wall Street. I said, well, like what? We talked for another hour.
Right.
About what he disagreed with me about. And I wasn't just like, oh, sorry, you don't like
that's
me.
That's what a good conversation is.
It was fantastic. Wait, it's one of my favorite episodes of my Making the News podcast, available on iTunes for free. But it is. It's a great episode because an hour into it, suddenly we take off. I love that.
I've always said if two people agree on everything, one of them's redundant. That's not journalism.
Yes. And that's also, by the way, I got to point out, the reason I love my wife, the reason I married my wife, I didn't marry my wife because she's my biggest fan. You know what I mean?
That's like, what was the movie where they're all robots? You know what I mean? That's just a robot. Who wants
the
a robot?
Stepford Wives?
You know what I mean?
But is that what you meant?
Yes. Yeah, the Stepford
Wives.
Because
there's a lot of movies where there's all robots, but I didn't know which one
was a particular one. But our point being, it's bad journalism. And to me, it's a mistake to say Megyn Kelly, to try to control her and say you can't have someone that I may disagree with. We will be back tomorrow. We're going to have another great show. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to agree. We're going to disagree. And we're going to agree to disagree. You are listening to Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan.
Fault Lines.